Good morning. I have three readings for you this morning, and you'll find the first one on page 4 of the Church Bibles. Page 4, which is Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Page 4. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Our second reading is on page 78, Exodus chapter 20. Verses 8 to 11, page 78, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And our third reading is on page 1033, Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Page 1033, Luke 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
Donald, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. If I haven't met you before, my name's Ed Neal. I'm the pastor here at Grosvenor. Great to have you with us. I would love you to turn back to Genesis chapter 2, please. So I think it's page 4. I'm going to pray for God's help as we come to look at his word together. Let me lead us. Our great God, our maker, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who made us in your image for your glory, we bow before you today. We pray that you'd help us to hear your word. We pray that as we hear it, you would help us to be conformed more into the likeness of Jesus and to find in him all that we need. We need your help, and we pray that your spirit will be at work for your glory. Amen. How good are you at rest, at resting? So when you try and stop at the end of the day, maybe after your work or your homework, do you find there's just satisfaction and joy? Or do you find it's more exhaustion and frustration, a sense of, I wish I'd done better, I wish I'd done more? Or when you try and sleep, do you find sleep comes easy? Or do you find that your mind is often churning? When you come to the weekend or the day off, do you switch off completely? Or are you always checking those emails? Or is your mind always in what is coming up in the next week, that task, that test? And when we do get to rest, really rest, maybe it's retirement or a decent holiday, do you really get the deep refreshment that you are hoping for? I was chatting to a friend a little while ago. He was on a career break for a number of months from his work, and he was a couple of weeks in, and he said to me, "Ed, I'm so stressed. I'm just not resting enough." Even rest can leave us restless and empty. Why do we find it so difficult? Where do we find real rest that is deeply satisfying? Rest for your soul. Because this restlessness is not how it was supposed to be. Come back with me to Genesis in chapter 2. And what we find here is that the goal of the great creation work that God has done, the whole of creation, is rest. So we come to Genesis 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array." Chapter 1, days 1 to 6. God has been hard at work making the heavens and the earth. And verse 31 of chapter 1, he says it's very good, it's perfect. And we think, is this it? Is this the climax? But no, there's another day. Day 7. And what does God do on day 7, verse 2 of chapter 2? "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." He rested. And this day is a different day. It's a special day. He blesses it. He makes it holy, verse 3. "And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." A different day. Do you notice it? It has no evening and morning, that phrase that is all the way through the first 6 days. It's as if there's no end to this day. What is God doing? He's resting. Is it because, well, do you know what? He's just jacked. He's made a universe. He's putting his feet up. He's on the sofa. He's falling asleep to the TV. No, not at all. God doesn't get weary. Is it because he's doing no work? No, he's sustaining the universe moment by moment. It's because he's finished the work of creation. We see that clearly. Verse 3, what work has he stopped? On it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. He's finished. It's completed. It is perfect, and so he is resting. It is a settled state of deep satisfaction, of joy, unending delight in all that he has made. Forever rest. If you've ever watched me try to do anything artistic, create anything artistic, you'll know I'm absolutely rubbish at it. And the worst present that you could give me when I was a child was an Airfix model. Do people still get those these days? I don't know. There's like a box of plastic pieces, and you're supposed to take them out, stick them together with glue, and then paint them, and you get an airplane. I just had no time for that. But one time, I got given a glider that was made out of this really light wood and paper, and this one would actually fly. So I decided, I am going to give this a go, and I spent absolutely hours painstakingly putting this glider together. And when I was finished, it was really satisfying. But what was the goal? What did I do? Did I just sit back and look at this glider? No, I went out into the garden and I started throwing it around and seeing it glide. I was enjoying what I had made. The goal of God's creation is that he enjoys all that he has made, resting in it. And we're a vital part of that forever rest. humankind, made to be enjoyed by God and made to enjoy God and his world. Do you remember Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made us to draw us into that joy, that relationship with God, that real rest. A rest where God is completely, perfectly happy with us and us in him. A relationship, a settled state of deep satisfaction, rest for our souls. That's not how it is now, is it? In the rest of the sermon, we're going to move on from Genesis chapter 2 and see what happens to this rest. And here's the first thing we're going to see. We are restless. Restless. Why do we struggle so much to find this rest? It's because enjoying God and his world and being enjoyed by God is what rest is about. But we've rejected God. And so we've rejected rest. We are restless. In a few weeks' time, when we look at Genesis 3, we'll see that Adam and Eve are unwilling to accept God as God. And actually, that is what each of us has done, including in our attitude to work and rest. Because in our sin, what do we say? We say, I'm not dependent. I don't need you. I can provide for myself. And so work then becomes, well, not the original gift to be enjoyed that we'll see next week, but the way I provide for myself, for others. And so it becomes all-consuming because it all depends on me. There's no one else who's going to do it. It's all down to you putting food on the table, being able to have a holiday to go on and pay for that, clothes to wear. Or we say to God, I'm not defined by you. I will be who I like. I can make up my own identity. And how quickly that identity becomes what we do. When Miriam was a teacher, she was teaching a class, I think there were 6 and 7-year-olds. Is that right? She can't remember which incident I'm talking about. She said to them, I'm going to give you a little test tomorrow. And that evening, some of the parents said to one of the children, if you don't do well in that test, you'll end up working in McDonald's. Now, there's all sorts of things wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working in McDonald's. But can you see that the sense of who that child is or will be, their identity, well, the parent says it'll depend on how they perform or what they will do for a job. And we think that's ridiculous, and yet isn't it the same for us? Driven by the need to perform, to prove ourselves, to try to be somebody. Never done enough, never satisfied, never finished, no rest. Or we say, we don't want God to be God. We're not designed by you. We're not a creature answerable to the Creator. No, I can be my own God. And we think, well, I don't need rest. I remember one man telling me that he just had too much to do in the week. And one of the things he just couldn't get to were all the emails. So he decided what he was going to do was that from midnight to 1 a.m., every day he was going to answer emails and just have an hour's less sleep. And when we live like this, well, we're exhausted when we stop. Or we're so wound up, we can't even rest. And it's no surprise. When we ignore our glorious God who gives us life and the way we're made to live, when we won't let God be God, we are restless. Because we're estranged from God, the God we're made for. Instead of being completely satisfied in him and him in us, no, we're left facing his righteous judgment for treating him so appallingly. What do we do? What do we do? Well, in the Old Testament, what does God do? He gives them the Sabbath, one day off work a week. Is this what we need? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. So, page 78, Exodus chapter 20. And God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. He says, on that seventh day, stop. Stop all your work. It is a day holy to the Lord. Why? Well, verse 11 is the answer. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. It was to remind them of that goal. God had made them and made them for a relationship with him, for rest. You get the same command to observe the Sabbath in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but then you get a different reason. There they are told, remember you were slaves in Egypt. But God rescued you. Why? Why did he rescue them? Well, for that relationship with him, for rest. So the purpose of the Sabbath day each week was a reminder, a sign. So as the Israelite woke up on the Sabbath and thought, oh my goodness, who is going to look after the crops if I'm not allowed to do any work today? Who's going to make sure the animals are safe? Well, he's to remember. Who is going to do it? Well, the God who made the whole universe. He's going to be able to cope with a few crops and animals. Or as he starts making his breakfast and he goes, oh, I don't really know who I am if I'm not doing my work. Am I a farmer? Am I a baker? Am I a school child? He's to remember. God's chosen people is the identity of those Israelites. Rescued for a relationship. It is a reminder to enjoy God and his world. See, the purpose of Sabbath isn't to make mankind miserable, you know, no TV or no sport on a Sunday. It's to find joy in God and in his world. Did keeping the Sabbath restore God's people to deep rest for the soul? Well, no. These commandments actually were given at a point where they were wandering around in the wilderness or just before they went into the land. They weren't even in their own homes. And actually what we find is it's clear as you go through, there's a deeper problem. One day off work a week is not going to sort this out because the Israelites will still not let God be God. So what's the solution? What's the solution for us today? Well, it's rest restored. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, please. So page 1033. Many years later, it's the Sabbath day, one Sabbath. Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" It was Jesus and his disciples, obviously a bit peckish, hadn't brought a packed lunch with them for their wonder, going through the cornfields, just thought, oh, we'll just eat a bit of the corn. And the Pharisees go, what are you doing? You're not to do any work on the Sabbath. Do you know what Jesus' reply is? He doesn't go, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. He doesn't say, oh, you know, there's mitigating circumstances. We were fairly hungry. He says this, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus said. And the Pharisees back then would have been outraged. How can he say that? This is God's day. And what Jesus was saying is that Sabbath, well, it's all about me. It points to me. It's fulfilled in me. It's what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2. Just listen to these verses. Therefore, he writes to these Christians, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. A shadow. It's a sign that there is something real. The Sabbath is a shadow. The real thing that it points to is Jesus Christ. Because real rest is offered, restored, only in Jesus. And that is exactly what Jesus claims. So Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29, page 977. Page 977, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you restless? Weary? You think, I just cannot keep going with all that is on my plate or all the trials I'm facing. Or feeling burdened, just that constant pressure to perform or to prove yourself to others, your classmates, your workmates, your parents. Or maybe just weighed down by the call to follow Jesus, to love his people, to reach the lost, to serve in church, to pray. You can never do enough, you feel. Or maybe actually the weight is that there is no escape from that battle with that sin that you are struggling with. Just constantly pulled back by it, you feel. And Jesus says to us, stop trying to work this out yourself. Stop trying to sort things yourself. Stop trying to be independent and self-sufficient. Come to me, he says. Rest on him. And we must do this. Because the problem isn't, it is greater than time management or work pressures. The problem is that we will not let God be God. And Jesus' solution is so much greater. Because he's done it all. All that is necessary to restore us to the relationship that we were made for, that forever rest. He took our sin and our self-sufficiency and our arrogance and our independence and our restlessness, and he took it to the cross. And there on that cross, with no rest, he took the punishment that it deserved. And do you remember what he cried out as he died? It is finished. And it means if we are trusting in Jesus today, we are restored to that relationship that we were made for. It means that God looks on you and me with joy. It means he is completely happy with us, enjoying us, delighting in us. And that changes everything. Not just in eternity, but right in the here and now. Many of you know this already. March 2019, I got ill. And I tried to push through for a week or two, and it was just no good. In the end, I had to stop. And the week of illness turned into weeks and turned into months. And I couldn't even get out of bed. In the early days, the furthest I could walk was 5 minutes to the park down the road, and then I needed to rest before walking home again. But you know what the worst part was? I couldn't be who I wanted to be, my identity. I felt, I need to be the pastor. And people say, oh, he's young, and I was like, yeah, but I need to be able to prove I can cope. I don't need rest. I needed the appreciation of the church. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be seen to be busy. I wanted that identity. That was what defined me. And yet how the illness just utterly exposed me. Exposed me in front of others, no hiding, that I was just so weak. And actually increasingly clear to myself that the things that I had taught countless times, oh, trust in Jesus, put your identity in Christ, well, that I didn't really believe, not deeply. I certainly didn't live it out. And yet, how thankful I am to God for that time where He showed me in a deeper way that I am just loved. Not because I've done anything or been anyone. I couldn't even get out of bed. But because of this, because Christ had done it all for me. Nothing left to do for God to be happy with me. The work was finished. It is finished. And the more I saw that, the more I knew His satisfaction in me and my joy in Him. If you never come to Jesus, can I implore you to do so? There is no other way to be restored to the relationship that we are made for, with the God who made us, to be put right with Him. But if you have come to Jesus, if you are a follower, well then enjoy the rest we have been given. How? Well, that leads us to the third thing we're going to see, rest enjoyed. Rest enjoyed. I'm going to walk us through three attitudes that could lead to any number of applications, because actually rest isn't just about Sundays, it should be about all day, every day. And then actually three practices, which is more about doing things at certain times. Just before I do those two threes, let me just jump aside just to talk about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath today. So is it wrong to work or expect others to work on Sundays? Now, Christians disagree on this, good and godly Christians, and it's really important for us to exercise grace if we differ and not in any way feel like we are superior if we hold a particular position. Personally, I think given it is the only commandment out of the Ten Commandments that isn't repeated in the New Testament, and also the fact that both Jesus and Paul seem to say it points to Jesus, that it's fulfilled in Him, that the command to have this one day in seven with no work at all isn't binding on us today in the way that it was. So it's not something we must do. And yet, I don't think that means we should just ignore it. It's clearly part of the created order. And the need to rest regularly, right in the fabric of the world that God has created. And it seems at least one in seven, well, it's divine wisdom, a divinely wise pattern. And where you have influence in wider society or maybe in the company that you're involved in, to try and ensure that other people get that kind of rest as well. Now, for some, you might be sitting there thinking, you know, you've just had a new child, and you think, oh, one day in seven would be amazing. I can't even contemplate what that would be like. God sees and knows. He knows our circumstances, and there are exceptional times where this might not be possible. But if we are able, if we don't take a day of rest off each week, it might not be sin, but it is stupid. Let me bring you to the three attitudes and three practices. Three attitudes. First of all, rest in Jesus's love. Here's our identity. We are someone. We don't need to work to be someone. We are loved by God. Not because of what we do, not because of what others think. So it's okay to say no. Someone asks us to do something.
Rest in knowing he is completely satisfied with us. Rest in Jesus' love. Rest in Jesus' power. We depend on him. His power, not ourselves. We're not in control. He is. He doesn't need us to keep the world spinning or to keep our business going or our family together. He doesn't need us. So it's okay to stop. It's okay to turn off the phone or to go on holiday and not check the email. And in that moment where the mind is just churning, we need to remember who is in charge. Thirdly, rest in Jesus' joy. We have a God who delights in us if we're Christians. He delights in us. So delight in him. That's what we're designed for. And the Bible says, actually, that's what we are destined for. An eternal Sabbath rest. Enjoying God perfectly in his perfect world. Three practices. Enjoy stopping. We just need to stop. Just stop. Stop the work. Stop going through the to-do list or the chores. We are creatures who need rest. We are not God. We're not like God in the ability to keep going forever. And it may be that we have made choices where we find it really hard to find time to rest. Well, we need to change those choices so that we can stop. It is important simply for us to refresh. So that means we actually shouldn't feel guilty if sometimes all we're doing is just simply watching something perfectly wholesome on Netflix, or having a nap, or doing something fun. Enjoy stopping. Enjoy the world. You see, Christians, we're not made to escape from the world. We're made to enjoy it. Lose yourself in listening to your favorite playlist on Spotify. Or enjoy others' company. Cooking for them, or going out for a coffee. Or just getting out into God's creation. You see, rest doesn't mean you have to sit and do nothing. I can't really contemplate how that could be restful. Getting out and seeing all that God has made can be rest. It's not a coincidence that actually the word recreation has recreate in it. We are made to enjoy God's world. And thirdly, lastly, most importantly, enjoy God. We are made for forever rest with the Almighty God. The irony being on Thursday, as I was preparing this, I was just like overwhelmed and stressed, and I consciously had to stop and remember Jesus' love, Jesus' power, Jesus' control, and rest in him, and just enjoy that. Real joy. Sometimes I think we can feel like we're too busy or too tired to read our Bible or go to church or youth group or home group. Do you know the answer to feeling weary, Jesus says, is come to him, not avoid him. We need to be reminded of Jesus. We need to go to those places where we get reminded of who he is and what he's done and enjoy him. We are made for rest. In Jesus, we are remade, restored to rest. Because he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me lead us in prayer. Our great God, our Maker, the one on whom we depend for everything, the the one who made us for yourself, the one in whom we find all joy and satisfaction. We come before you even as those who know your love for us in Jesus and admit that so often we are tempted to think we can be self-sufficient, self-dependent, that we don't need you. And that is seen in the way that we work and rest. And so we cry out to you for grace to help us, to put work in the right place, to rest in the right way, enjoying the refreshment and the gifts that you have given us, and ultimately the gift of yourself. And we praise you most of all that because we are in Jesus, we know that it is finished, that you are completely happy with us because of all that he has done. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.